God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today we begin a three-day series based upon information from Brother Hutchings' latest book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. Dr. Larry Spargimino joins him for the series, and today's topic is restoring temple worship in Israel. Here now is Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. I would like to begin by quoting an email we received, and I get these every month, from Gershom Solomon. He is the founder of the Temple Mount Faithful, and they have a mission to rebuild the temple. And I would just like to read a portion of this. Quote, "The Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement will march to the Holy Temple Mount on the 20th of July, calling to the people and to the government of Israel to immediately build the end-time Holy Third Temple." Now, I received this email a couple of weeks ago, so that's the reason for the date. Now, this important event will take place during a very special time in the history of the people of God. The Holy Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible and Jewish tradition, particularly after the destruction of the Second Temple, have indicated that three events shall happen before the coming of Messiah ben David. Number one, the first event is the regathering of the Jewish people from all corners of the world back to the promised land of Israel. Certainly, this has already occurred, in type at least, if not in complete fulfillment. Number two, the second event is the reestablishment of the sovereign kingdom of the state of Israel. And of course, we know this happened on May the 14th, 1948. Now, the third event is the rebuilding of the Holy Temple of God on the Holy Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, those are the three events before the Messiah comes. Now, this is according to the Temple Mount Faithful from a traditional Jewish position. Of course, there are a couple of different opinions. Some believe they should go ahead and build the temple now so the Messiah will come. And of course, some reference Zechariah, indicating that the Messiah himself will come and build the temple. Both are probably true because there must be a temple there for the Antichrist to desecrate and commit the abomination of desolation. And that temple evidently will be destroyed. And when the Messiah comes, Jesus Christ come back, he will build his own temple. But the temple was an indication to the King David, or that the Messiah, his descendants, who would be the Messiah, would rule upon his throne forever. So that's why the temple needed to be rebuilt.
Well, this restoration of temple worship is a very profound and interesting topic. We'll back up a little bit and look at the tabernacle. First of all, the tabernacle served, as you well know, Dr. Hutchings, as a place of communication, worship, and sacrifice with God for Israel during the period of wandering in the wilderness and the time of the judges. So it was a very important place that kept the people together. King David envisioned a permanent temple to replace the tabernacle, but because David was a man of war, he was not permitted to build the temple, but he did purchase a site for it from Araunah, the Jebusite. The temple was constructed by Solomon and dedicated as the house of the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles 3 and verse 1. Now, Solomon's temple stood for 416 years before it was plundered and burned by the Babylonians in 586 BC on the ninth day of Av. After the Babylonian captivity period ended, a returning Jewish remnant under the leadership of Zerubbabel completed the rebuilding of the temple in 515 BC. Because Zerubbabel did not have the funds and skilled workmen available to him as Solomon did, the second temple was inferior in beauty and workmanship. However, Zerubbabel's temple was refurbished and enlarged by King Herod. The second temple was burned by the Romans on the ninth day of Av in AD 70. Now, as you point out in your book, there is a difference of opinion among Orthodox and/or observing Jews whether the temple, as you've just said, must be rebuilt before the Messiah comes. Ezekiel 40 through 44 relates to the building of the millennial temple or messianic temple, so there will be such a temple. The prophet Zechariah foretold that the Messiah will build this temple. I want to read from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The scripture says this, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both."
Now, I would like to bring out that in my new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, section number 2 in the book deals with signs from Israel, which of course also includes the restoration of temple worship and rebuilding of the temple. That in my book is sign number 33, and that's one of the most important signs today that we are living in the last generation. All these signs concerning the rebuilding of the temple. And Brother Jerry will tell you how to get a copy of this book at the close of the program. I told everyone I would autograph copies, and it seemed like for the last month all I've done is autograph copies. I may not do this again. But in any event, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord of the covenant will suddenly come to his temple. Now, that could also be referenced as already happened, as Jesus certainly suddenly came to his temple, the temple in Jerusalem. And he overthrew the money changers' temples and so on and so on. So we can say that Malachi 3:1 may have referenced a coming to already appearing at his temple, but we know that when he comes, he will rebuild the temple according to Zechariah. He's called the branch. And he also, according to the Gospels, fulfilled at his first coming all the signs of the Messiah given in the Old Testament. And not only did he suddenly come into his temple, he also made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to leap as a hart or a deer. And he fulfilled these messianic miracles in type, according to Paul, in order to prove his claim to Israel that he was indeed the Messiah. We read in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, the conclusion of Paul, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." He said, "I have come to none save the house of Israel, the tribe of Israel, the lost sheep, to give this sign." And of course they said, "We will not have this man rule over us," and he was rejected. But we present these basic foundational truths to present the evidence that Jesus Christ actually, though, never confirmed a covenant with Israel because they rejected him. Now, some in Israel did believe that he was the Christ, but most did not. The Sanhedrin didn't. That was the legal body of Israel. Jesus was rejected, so he never confirmed a covenant with them. Now, this leaves us with the proposition that the false Messiah must come and confirm the covenant with Israel, and after 3.5 years, repudiate his confirmation and stop the sacrifice and oblation. We read in Daniel chapter 9, verses 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The week here, of course, is the 70th week of Daniel, or 70 years, and the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, and that covenant is very possible today. Now, the pronoun it, of course, means this evil person will simply make desolations on the earth. Daniel 11:31 says, "An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." And Jesus also referred to this, the prophecy of Daniel, indicating that he was not the one that was going to do it, but someone else, a false Messiah, would do it. "And from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. There will be 1,290 days, or 3.5 years. And this is the reason for the importance of the efforts in Israel today to rebuild the temple. Now we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." So it's going to be a false Messiah who will make a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years, but after 3.5 years, he will break it. And they'll stop the sacrifice and oblation in the temple that has been rebuilt. But there has to be a temple there first. And this is why we see the effort today and why we know that we must be in the last generation. Now, Paul also stated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God."
Well, you know, considering every prophecy, Dr. Hutchings, relating to the abomination of desolation in the temple, this awful sin will be enacted at the halfway mark of the tribulation in a temple structure on the Temple Mount. The act constitutes a satanically possessed dictator who stands in the temple declaring to the entire world that he is the Messiah, the Christ, and demanding that all nations worship him as God. And we have this spelled out in Revelation 13. There will be a period of international desolation descriptive of nuclear warfare that will follow. Related scriptures foretell the destruction of Damascus, Iraq, and many other nations, including Egypt, being so contaminated that no animal can live in the land for 40 years. Many other world desolations are prophesied for this time in the book of Revelation. Some have suggested that a tabernacle could be placed in front of the Western Wall to fulfill this prophecy, but in Amos 9:14 and then Acts 15:16, where the tabernacle is mentioned, the Messiah in Amos and Jesus Christ in Acts are indicated as builders of the tabernacle. Therefore, the tabernacle in these scriptures seems to refer to the Davidic throne and theocratic government, not a literal structure. But evidence would substantiate the conclusion that there must be a temple on the Temple Mount for the false Messiah or the Antichrist to desecrate. This building doubtless will be destroyed, possibly at the Battle of Armageddon. Nevertheless, there is increasing sentiment in Israel today to go ahead and make preparations for the rebuilding of the temple, even though Muslim guards are still in control of the Temple Mount. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem has prepared the vessels needed in temple worship and the trumpets to welcome the Messiah. Kohens and Levites are being schooled to resume temple worship, and many observing Jews have been excited about the appearance of a red heifer that would fulfill the requirements in Numbers 19 for resuming temple services. Most Orthodox and observing Jews believe that the nation of Israel cannot be completely restored until the temple, the Lord's house, is once more standing on Mount Moriah.
And of course, when that has been completed, then they can expect the Messiah to come. And, you know, Brother Larry, that's why they are apt to accept a false Messiah once the temple is built. Because they have a temple now, there they must have the Messiah. So it will be easy for the Antichrist to deceive Israel. And The Temple Institute, as you've already noted, and I have been to the Temple Institute many times. In fact, I'm an honorary member of the Temple Institute. I have my card, and I don't expect to set it when it's built, but I'm probably going to be out of here. But the Temple Institute has completed all the items needed to resume temple worship, including all the musical instruments, the golden candelabra, the altar burnt offering, the priest's clothing, and the various incenses. Now, the priests have also been DNA checked to see if they are actual descendants of Aaron, and 90% of them are. There is a particular gene that identifies them as the descendants of Aaron. The Levites have been DNA checked, and something like 82% have been proven to come from the tribe of Levi. But on the average, only about 1/3 of the Jews in Israel today are 100% Jewish. Most of the others have been mixed with Gentile blood. Now, the Temple Institute and the Temple Mount Faithful are two of the Jewish organizations hurrying to rebuild the temple and resume temple worship. Even the Jerusalem Post is now carrying news favorable to rebuilding the temple. Now, the Post editions on March 29, 2010, carried a front-page article with graphics and pictures about the rebuilding of the temple. And there's a long article here about what's being done to rebuild the temple. And in fact, they show pictures of buses in Jerusalem about rebuilding the temple. About rebuild the temple now. And that's amazing that buses in Jerusalem are now carrying signs to rebuild the temple. Now, we know from the scriptures and current news reports that all this is coming to pass. But let's regroup or rephrase a chronology concerning how all this is going to happen from according to the scripture. Now, number one, the Antichrist will make a covenant treaty with Israel for 1 week or 7 years, Daniel 9:27, and a new comprehensive treaty engineered by the Obama administration could come at any time. Now, Hillary, working under Mr. Obama, is working over there to separate the city of Jerusalem into two parts, the whole nation of Israel. And we read in Daniel that the Antichrist will divide the land for gain. Now, number two, the temple will be rebuilt at the same location, perhaps the Temple Mount, and temple worship resumed because the Antichrist will break the treaty after 3.5 years and cause temple worship to cease. So the actual temple worship service is going to be resumed. And that's why the priests and Levites are being trained right now. Now, number three, the Antichrist will divide Israel into two sections or two nations, as prophesied in the Bible. And it is suggested by Hillary Clinton, our present Secretary of State, that East Jerusalem, the original Jerusalem, be made the capital of the new Palestinian state. And that is confirmed by Daniel chapter 11, verse 39. So we see all these amazing things taking place right before our eyes. Now, the restoration of temple worship is the most important sign today that I can think of that the Antichrist may be alive right now in the world. Now, we may not know who he is, but you know, Brother Dyer, he could be in the world from all these signs that we see taking place.
Well, when things are moving at the great speed that they are, prophetically speaking, I would affirm that as well as with you, because things are on fast forward.
But now, one thing that still has to happen before they would resume temple worship, the Bible says they have to have a red heifer. They have to sacrifice another red heifer. And according to the Bible, you know, that has to happen. Now, there have been 9 red heifers sacrificed so far, and the next one would be the 10th one. And there's a tradition in Israel that when the 10th red heifer is sacrificed, the Messiah will come, and that's really amazing. The Consensus was in 1981, that's when they started to make efforts to produce a red heifer, was that the ashes of the last red heifer had to be found in order to purify the ashes of the next red heifer. According to some records, the red heifer was sacrificed on the Mount of Olives, and a line from the place where the red heifer was sacrificed through the Golden Gate to the Holy of Holies, it would be a direct line. Now, if they could find that place, then they might be able to find the ashes of the last red heifer, at least the kalah, one of the kalahs where part of the ashes was found. Now, most ceremonial and dietary laws have been amended, though, over the years for one reason or another. So we have to assume that the biblical account, we have to go back to that rather than depend upon tradition. In 1981, when we began to bring information regarding the necessity of finding the ashes of the last red heifer that were either on the Temple Mount or the place of burning on Mount Olivet, the response we received was, for the most part, negative and critical. The majority of Christian Jews at that time had no idea what we were talking about, and those who did felt it didn't make any difference anyway. However, in 1997, the entire world was talking about the red heifer. Now, why? Well, the so-called Oslo Agreement had brought Israel to an impasse. The West Bank for a Palestinian state had been created, but as predicted by some, it became a base for terrorists. But even so, over 1 million Muslims were living in Israel, and from an Orthodox point of view, the only hope for the coming of the Messiah, just as Josephus reported, the coming of the Messiah to rebuild the temple or come to a rebuilt temple and bring in a unified Israel under the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And again, Brother Larry, that's the importance of looking for the temple today and for rebuilding the temple. All these events in Israel are related to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's why all these things are important.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. To get the book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, please call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. The 216-page book is offered in appreciation of your $20 contribution in the United States, $22 for Canadian listeners. What you heard on today's program and a whole lot more is in the book. It's divided into three sections: Irrefutable Signs in the Secular World, in Israel, and the third division is called Terminal Apostasies. Information on the temple, of course, is in that Israel section. Again, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation is available for a contribution of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Get it by calling 800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. Next over many of these stations is a Bible in the News report. Tomorrow, Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry talk about the red heifer on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting is Dr. Bob Glaze.
The political arena is the area with the most violations of the rule of the double standard. The news media constantly imposes different rules to those that espouse their particular views and those that differ. This is usually the liberal versus the conservative. Although the news networks are the most notable of these violators, the nation's universities are just as guilty of double standards. One such case involves the Loyola University Chicago, a private school that just happens to be located in Obama's old stomping grounds. Recently, Karl Rove, a Fox News contributor and architect of former President George Bush's campaign strategies, was denied a speaking engagement at the university. According to the article dated July 28, 2010 on FoxNews.com, Rove was refused permission to speak at the university because, quote, it might imperil its 501c3 tax status, unquote. The reason given was that welcoming a political speaker ahead of a midterm elections could threaten its tax-exempt status. Instead, an appointee of the Obama administration will address the student body. The article states, quote, the news that Ebo Patel, an appointee of the Obama administration, will be allowed to speak at Loyola University Chicago while Karl Rove was essentially barred is further proof that the university administration either has zero understanding of tax law or is unabashedly biased, said Yvonne Gassman, a spokesman for Young America's Foundation, a conservative outreach group that was sponsoring the Rove speech. Steve Christensen, university spokesman, stated, quote, our university considers its on-campus speakers on a case-by-case basis and very carefully. Dr. Patel's speech on August 27th will focus on the importance of interfaith leadership and associated with the university's mission, unquote. He added Karl Rove was to speak in October 2010 about the upcoming elections and their impact on public policy. Adam Kissay of the Nonpartisan Foundation for Individual Rights in Education told FoxNews.com that the school appears to be applying a double standard. God has much to say about applying the double standard in His Word. In fact, He hates the double standard. In Deuteronomy 25:13-16, we read, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine houses divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.